Yes, you are listening to Hot Song on KDNK. I'm your host, Raleigh Burley, and today we take a journey into a 30-year summer tradition in Marble, Colorado. White marble dust envelops the camp and an air compressor buzzes nearby. This is the Marble Marble Stone Carving Symposium, attracting artists from the Crystal Valley, across Colorado, the country, and even from as far as India and Japan. The oldest participant, I am told, is 92 years old. Here, eclectic characters gather in an aspen grove to share in focus time to carve the world-renowned marble that comes from a nearby quarry.
There's plenty to take out. It's just one big rock.
My voyage begins by talking with Lucas Leone.
Yeah, but not
a cherished friend who was born in marble and has participated in the symposium since he was 16 years old.
The air hammer.
Luke is now a part of the crew that assists with setup, meals, and demonstrations throughout the summer program, comprised of 3 week-long sessions.
My parents had a restaurant that was only a few hundred yards away from the symposium, and so I grew up as a kid running through the woods and around the marble blocks, watching these dust-covered ghosts stumbling around in the woods, carving marble. So that was my initial introduction to it, and I guess by the time I was 16, I was taking a session as a participant here and learning how to carve stone, and I took, I think, 3 more after that, and then they offered me a position at the tool shed, which is the shed that we have the tools in that we can loan out to the participants for them to use and explore. And I've been working at the tool shed for, 4 years maybe, since then. And it's, the whole symposium comes together as a communal effort. You know, there's probably about 20 staff members, and they all contribute in different ways. And we put on this summer program that happens up here 3 times a year, 3 sessions a year. And it attracts and collects artists and sculptors from all over the country, and we share our experience camping in the wilderness up here and carving the marble.
Has a lot changed since you started?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is constantly changing. No, it's, you know, no 2 years are the same practically, and it has had a long history, and a lot of generations of really talented people have contributed to it. At the moment, the biggest change we're facing is this property next door, which is owned by a fellow that was a participant at Marble for a few years earlier on, and then purchased that piece of property and was selling tools to the artists and proposing to hold his own sculpting symposium. But over the years, he developed a bitter relationship with the symposium, and has litigated against us, and is trying to sell his property, and get away from Marble. But he's making it hard on us. He's saying that he can't, enjoy his property because of the noise and dust that happens here. So that's the biggest problem we're facing at the moment. We have an ongoing fundraiser at the moment, and we're trying to raise money to make him an offer on the property. And that's been hanging over all of us this year, especially. And if we could buy it outright, I think we would certainly expand into it. But it's also clear to us that we should maintain it as part of the mill site, as the historic piece of property that it is, and also, reconnect it with the continuing Millsite Park that's a feature of the town of Marble, which unfortunately is fenced off because of the owner. But if we were to get it, I think there would be an expansion. Especially, there's a particularly beautiful feature about the property. It's the beach down there, where the Crystal River makes a big bend, and it brushes up against a big shale cliff that's at the base of Raspberry Ridge. And there's a big whirlpool that happens there, and the beach is littered with brilliant white crystal marbles, we call them, but they're pieces of marble that have been rounded in the Crystal River. And it's an incredibly beautiful place.
Could you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Rex Branson, and I've been a part of this seminar ever since the beginning, 31 years. And Vicky, my wife, Vicky Branson, and I have watched it grow from a little, I think the first year we had like 20 people or something. Of course, she only had one session, I think, in the very beginning. But then over the years, we've watched it grow. We've helped build the kitchen, put the water, the bathrooms, everything in. So it's been kind of neat to see the thing evolve. And we're big supporters of it. And we would like to see it continue on. This is like 31 years for us. So I was like 33 years old when I first came here. I'm going on 65, so maybe the math is right there.
Who knows? How did you get involved in the very beginning?
Well, it was an odd thing for me. I'm actually a wood carver, but I was at a clay seminar in Westcliff, Colorado. And a guy named Bill Snow from Carthage, Missouri, had a stone on his trailer, and he was at that seminar. And I asked him, "What are you going to do with that stone?" And he said, "I'm going to Marble, Colorado. A bunch of us are going to get together in the woods and carve." And he said, "They're looking for people." And they only had like 20 people signed up or something the very first year. And he said, you can pay when you get there. You just show up." So I went back to Oklahoma, got Vicky, and we drove back here, and 3 or 4 days later done the very first Marble, and we've been part of it ever since.
Was it one of the reasons you decided to come out here to live?
Well, yeah, because Vicky and I were both wood carvers years ago. That's how we made our living. But you know, as the pinnacle of your career as a carver of anything, you know, would be this white marble is just awesome. And we've really enjoyed being out here and getting to carve all these years. And now we've got set up at our house. We live up on Serpentine Trail up above Marble, and we can carve up there. So it's what we came here to do.
And what is this piece that you're working on here?
Oh yeah, this is the universe. And if anybody knows my work or seen it in front of the Marble Gallery up here uptown, you've seen the puzzle, pardon me, the puzzle pieces that are up there. And I've been doing a series of puzzle pieces for a lot of years. And this universe with the Earth in the center, and well, it ain't really the Earth, it's just the planets with the big ring with a whole bunch of everything. I got angels, I got demons, I got the space shuttle, I got rockets, I got aliens, a little everything on here. I'm a big ancient alien fan. So, a lot of ancient alien stuff here.
Yeah. Well, anything else you'd like to add about your work or your history with Marble Marble?
Well, you know, here's one thing that we have happening at Marble Marble that anybody listening, I would like for them to hear is, we have a situation with the property next door here, and the guy's been trying to shut the seminar down and stuff, and we're trying to buy that property from him, but we're a nonprofit organization. So we have started collectively as a bunch of sculptors gathering up money to try to figure out how to buy this property to where we can continue this legacy of Madeline's the dream of Marble Marble on. So if there's somebody out there in the world listening that has a ton of money that would love to dump some of it into a very worthy cause, we're trying to buy this property next door and expand the seminar over onto it, maybe new bathrooms, you know, maybe whatever.
What's
so,
the price on the land?
Well, the guy's asking, I think, $425 or something, or $425,000, I mean.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to take some money, and we're a non-profit, so. But we have started a fundraising program, and we have a couple of the people here that own some pizza establishments have made a challenge that they would donate money if other people would. They would match it. So we've got some money going, but we sure could use any kind of help if anybody would like to help us keep this thing going. It's been 31 years. We'd like to have another 100 years.
You're listening to Heart Song on KDNK. I'm your host, Raleigh Burley, and today we explore the Marble Marble Stone Carving Symposium in its 31st year. After chatting with Rex, who extends a warm invitation to the public to come visit during the third session's final days this weekend, and this includes the closing party on Sunday evening, I wandered down the hill towards the carving site of accomplished artist Madeline Wiener, who was among the group that founded Marble Marble.
Are you okay standing, or would you like to sit somewhere? Or?
I'm comfortable standing.
Okay. You could surely lean. You're going to get a little dusty, no matter what.
You gotta expect that, right?
Yeah, up here, absolutely, you do. You do. I moved here with my husband, who's in the wheelchair over there. We moved here in 77. With our sons, and they were little, and right away I was introduced to a stone carver, Greg Tanasi. I don't know if you know the Tanasi family, and Frank Swanson. Frank introduced me to Greg, who introduced me to Scott Owens, who's one of our instructors here. And so in 77, Matt and my sons and I were invited to come out and watch Frank and Scott and Greg carved the sculpture that became what we all affectionately call the Flying Donut. It's over in the park in Glen in Marble, back there. And I was a new kid on the block. I had already met all of them. And when they invited me to come up and watch, I wasn't offended. I was thrilled to watch them. I was inspired. I was challenged. Because I felt like I could do that, although I hadn't a clue how to do that. But I could, because I was a sculptor. I had just moved here and from New York, from my hammer chisel file studio, you know, where I cut all with hand tools, no power tools ever in New York. 7 years of hand tools. We teach these people to run before they ever had a chance to walk. Okay, we put power tools in their hands. It's all safety first and all of that, but I'll back up. So they invited me to watch. I watched. And I carried that vision of these three macho guys carving on a single stone, and I wanted to do it too. And one day in 88, I was already working at the Art Students League of Denver. I was teaching stone carving. The way I learned it, with a hammer and a chisel and files. And I mentioned to the director that I would love to run a workshop out in the woods. I want to do something in the woods. So what ended up happening was she challenged me, shook my shoulder and said, "You make all your dreams come true, make this one come true, just do it." So I called Greg Tanasi. And he said he would help me do this, get this thing started, because he was the nuts and bolts guy. He knew the people who could do this and that, electrical and all of that. And I was the organizer, I was figuring out the finances of it and everything because it couldn't cost the Art Students League anything. And I didn't have deep pockets. We didn't.
This summer, Madeline Wiener is working on a commission by the City of Glenwood Springs for a sculpture to be placed on the north side of the Colorado River between the new Grand Avenue Bridge and the pedestrian bridge that overlooks the Hot Springs Pool.
So could you tell us a little bit about that piece? It's right here. You've been working on it throughout the first two sessions mm-hmm. here at Marble Marble. And you just mentioned before I started recording, you're trying to get it done by October.
Yes, yes. We'd love to set it before the snow flies. Mm-hmm. Because once we're done working here with the symposium, this will be a learning tool. The sculpture, if anybody comes on to this property, which people have been known to, I'll be able to educate them about the process, why I'm doing this particular piece, how I'm doing it, talk about the stone, which will help the people who are visiting understand the significance of having a quarry of world renown right up at the top of the hill, Red Graniti Marble. You know, they call themselves Colorado Stone Quarries. They're pulling stone like I've never seen. And they opened up a mill yard in Delta. And I had to actually go to Delta and select these stones, this stone, out of several others that was quarried right up here. But they don't bring anything down to the mill site that's not being trucked to Delta or Houston, but preferably to Delta. So they worked with me, and I also purchased, on behalf of Marble Marble, several stones that we've cut up and the sculptors are using. This stone, whatever isn't still here, jumbo blocks, the first block that came off with a chainsaw was about 2,300 or 2,400 pounds, one block. And another block similar size, and then smaller blocks. Wherever I'm sitting, where a corner came off of, from the full height, this corner came off, and it could become two symposium blocks. We give people up to 500 pounds, which is about 3 cubic feet of marble. So I'm donating some of the stone to the symposium. And there were lots of blocks that came off of this. You could see wherever there wasn't solid stone, some of it came off with the hydraulic diamond chainsaw.
Wow. So it's a giant piece.
It was a giant piece. It weighed upwards of 24,000 pounds to begin with.
Wow.
And I'm figuring 8,000 to 10,000 pounds will be sitting on that foundation, which will be set on the grass at the North Landing. That's what that area is called, facing the hotel and next to the pool. So it'll be setting there for everybody to enjoy, sitting on it, climbing on it, becoming a part of it. It's a playful piece. It's a happy piece. So when I was selected to make this, ordinarily I send in my qualifications. My assistant sends in my qualifications. Sometimes she tells me who she's sending them to, and sometimes if it's questionable whether I'd be interested, she'll ask me. If she thinks I really ought to be interested, she'll do it no matter. And sometimes I'm fortunate to be shortlisted. In this case, I heard through the radio station in Aspen that I was the chosen artist, but I hadn't proposed anything. It was just based on my qualifications to do interactive, functional art. So at any rate, I attended the first show-out. I don't know, maybe there were 18 or 20 people, plus the facilitator. He broke us into two groups. Right away, there was a very nice man who showed me his screensaver on his iPhone. It was the image of a painting of a Ute chief. And I thought, okay, I know somebody's interested in the Ute Nation. I don't know if that's going to be all-inclusive enough, because I always carve general. I might carve ethnicity to the extent that it makes sense for a community, but not to the extent that it really rules out anybody. It could be this ethnicity, it could be that. you know, let's face it, certain ethnicities are very specific with detailing in the eyes or the lips or the nose or whatever. I had to be very careful about that. So some people said, yeah, you would be great. And others said, no way, because we kept breaking up into groups during the charrette. And he was keeping score, who wanted what. So the essence of what everybody wanted was, it had to do with the water, the river, not necessarily the pool, water, the river, family, explorers, farmers, ranchers, teachers, children, adults, fun, unity. There were so many words, and I just kept on pulling words out, and ultimately I thought, well, a mother and a son, that'll say it all. It's family, and they're having fun on the water. But first I designed two children. It could have been one little girl with her arms around from the back, her arms around the chest of a bigger boy. Could have been a dad and a little girl. And they were on a sled, and her hair was flying in the breeze, and she's looking back like this, and she was... I have to carve that piece. I have to carve that piece one day where it will be fitting for a community that gets a lot of snow. But they said, oh, we love it, but we want the water. Could you make it the water? We don't even have a sled hill in Glenwood. Can't imagine that, but that's what they told me. So I thought, okay, so instead of the gesture moving forward like this, it was coming from behind, moving downhill, as you saw the model. And they're happily inner tubing down the river. Not necessarily this lazy river or anything like that. Maybe there's white water. I'll be experimenting on carving the water as time goes by, as I get closer to finishing it. But it's a happy piece. It's a family piece. It's totally functional. Kids could climb all over it. At least one of the feet that's dangling over the water is that real junior size. You know, I usually, if it's a bench, I usually go according to legal bench height, which is 18 inches. This is going to be all over the place. Mm-hmm. And anybody could relate. Anybody who's ever splashed around in the water, they could just be in a kiddie pool somewhere, you know, anywhere. But they are in an inner tube going downriver.
On the Colorado.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
In the back.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the little boy is big enough that a person could, especially a child, crawl up and sit in their lap.
Absolutely.
The third passenger on the center tube.
Yes. Yes. There could be 4 and 5 passengers on the inner tube. You can't believe how creative people are. It'll only be standing 4 foot tall and in the grass. So it won't ever be too high that a child can climb to the top. If they fall off, they're going to fall on the grass. Right. But I've never heard of any kid falling off my sculpture. Across the country, I've done this series of what I call bench people. And they're people that are benches. At the dedication, I always give away chips of the actual stone. So anybody who comes to the dedication or a workshop I might put on to educate the people why they chose me, how this commission happened, I teach them all about it. Because if a public work is brought into town, it's just plunked there overnight, and all of a sudden the people who live in town see something that they might love or they might really not like. They should have the right to find out why. Why did you choose that artist? Wow, why did you choose that artist? How did you get that artist? How much money did it cost? It's public domain. So I work always within a budget, and I answer those questions at a workshop that might happen after the installation and the dedication. And I always distribute chips off the sculpture, so everybody gets to own a piece of the sculpture. But once they own a piece of the sculpture, or if they help me buff it out at the end, wash it, clean it, whatever involvement a community member might have, they're going to remember that every time they see the sculpture. They might take their children back to it and say, see that? I helped that artist work on that. They might blow it out of proportion, and that's okay, because they own it. Mm-hmm. And that to me is very important.
Is there anything that you want to add?
As far as Marble Marble goes, we are in our 31st year. We have people come from around the world. We invite neighbors from different towns, whoever is visiting the town of Marble, to stop in and see sculptures at work. You'll never see a situation like this anywhere. You'll see other symposia around the world, but this is all inclusive. We furnish tools, we furnish the marble, we furnish the tutelage, we have a big staff, we're a nonprofit. We have been running for 31 years and nothing and no one is going to stop us now. That's
Thank
it.
Thank you so much.
We have a future. Thank you.
You've been listening to Heart Song on KDNK and an interview with Madeline Wiener, the artist commissioned to carve a sculpture for the North Landing in Glenwood Springs. I'm your host, Raleigh Burley. Thanks for listening.